Jeremiah 47, Against the Philistines. This short chapter of seven verses is the second of the series of prophecies against the Gentiles. It has already been noted that these oracles were not of necessity pronounced in the sequence in which they are here preserved. Presumably they were placed in order by Ezra and Nehemiah and the men of the great synagogue, in the days when the Spirit of God still guided the prophets of Israel. In verse 1 we read, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before that Pharaoh smote Gaza." The Cambridge Bible notes that this verse in the Septuagint consists simply of the words, "concerning the Philistines." At any rate, we shall probably be right in considering "before that Gaza" as a gloss added by a scribe who had regard to verse 5 for failing to see that the disaster then spoken of was to come on Gaza from the north, not from Egypt. I identified it with Pharaoh Necho's capture of Cadytis, probably Gaza, after the Battle of Megiddo, 608 BC. This is not very flattering to the scribe in question, who was probably aware of what had come upon Philistia from the north as well as from the south, and inserted this note of time, if he did insert it, as a kind of date of the prophecy. Jeremiah in this chapter speaks of the Philistines, the Philistim, but Isaiah speaks of Palestina, Pelesheth, or as the RV translates it, Philistia. For the words are radically the same. This form, Pelesheth, is comparatively rare in the Bible, being found only in Exodus 15, several passages in Psalms, and in Isaiah and Joel. In the first of these places, Moses, in his Song of Triumph, says, "Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina." Revised Version, Philistia. David, in his Song of Victory in Psalm 60, prophetic also of the ultimate triumph of the kingdom of God, says, "Moab is my washpot. Upon Edom will I cast my shoe. Philistia, shout thou because of me." And Psalms 83 and 108 speak in similar terms of Philistia or the Philistines. Isaiah 14 warns Philistia that though Israel was smitten by Assyria, the northern invader would not spare the coastlands, and Israel should at last be restored. Joel speaks of Tyre and Zidon and all the regions of Philistia, that is the coasts of Palestine, according to the AV, both with reference to the past enmity against Israel and the future crisis of the latter days. In all these references, Philistia connotes more particularly the southwest coastlands of what we now call Palestine. Jesenius derives the word Pelesheth from the root Pelash, to wander, to emigrate, and notes that the Septuagint speaks of the Philistines as Alophuloi, or foreigners. That is from a Jewish point of view. This is probably the source of the modern semi-slang usage of the term Philistine, to indicate one who in Bible parlance is not of us. Compare the German university usage. Under the heading Kaftor, and with reference to Amos 9, verse 7, Jesenius gives his opinion that the Philistines originated in the island of Crete. And this idea appears to prevail at the present day. Originally descriptive of the coastlands of Palestine, the name Philistia or Palestine gradually came to be applied to the whole of the land of Israel. And this so far back as the days of Josephus, who uses the name in both senses. But in Jeremiah's day, it was the country of the five lords of the Philistines that was in question, as is evident from the references to Gaza and Ashkelon. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north and shall become an overflowing stream and shall overflow the land and all that is therein, the city and them that dwell therein. And the men shall cry and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl. At the noise of the stamping of the hooves of his strong ones, at the rushing of his chariots, at the rumbling of his wheels, the fathers look not back to their children for feebleness of hands, because of the day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Zidon every helper that remaineth. For the Lord will spoil the Philistines, the remnant of the isle or sea coast of Kaphtor. Baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is brought to naught. The remnant of their valley. How long wilt thou cut thyself? O thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard. Rest and be still. How canst thou be quiet, seeing the Lord hath given thee a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There hath he appointed it. That was verses 2-7 in the Revised Version. The figure of the overflowing flood is used both by Jeremiah and Isaiah, both with reference to Egypt and Assyria. The angel Gabriel told the prophet Daniel that when Jew and Gentile had cut off Messiah, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. The chief priests and the Pharisees, unwittingly preparing to fulfill the angel's words, said concerning Jesus, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And Jesus himself, directing his disciples' minds to Daniel's prophecy, said that thus it should be, and referred to the flood in the days of Noah. And a further flood of northern invasion awaits the country in the latter days in the onrush of Gog, who comes like a storm, like a cloud, to cover the land. It's Ezekiel 38. There's something very pathetic in the prophet's apostrophizing of the sword of the Lord. O thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? The Lord Jesus seems to have a similar thought. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Yet in Jeremiah's days and in the days of Jesus, and in our own days, how can the sword of the Lord rest till it accomplish its terrible work? When the third angel poured out his cup of the wrath of God upon the rivers and fountains of waters in Revelation 16, the apostle says, I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another angel out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Jeremiah, in pronouncing this judgment against the nations was in much sorrow and humiliation, fulfilling the original commission of God. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. He was not afraid, but in the strength of the word of God fulfilled his mission, and in the fall of Jerusalem before Nebuchadnezzar was delivered. Though, according to Christian tradition, he was afterwards stoned to death in Egypt, it matters not. An apostle could say, after the Lord himself, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.